Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, I love that tease, Enrique. That was good. For those of you that are brand new, you're like, what in the world is he talking about? But I'll get to that here in just a second. But again, I want to welcome you out to Christ Covenant today. So good to have you with us. We're in part three of a series that we're calling Summer Fruit. And so there's a reason why there's oranges beside me here on the platform. But what Enrique was referring to, and those of us that have been around for a little while, we definitely noticed, but we have begun our renovation here at the building. Doesn't the building look great and incredible, the progress that we've made? We had many of you sneaking up here throughout the week for some reason. Oh, I just had to come by for this thing because you want to see the progress. So for those that are brand new, let me catch you up lightning speed. We started phase one, which is our kids' wing, our hallway. And I told you last Sunday, if you were here for Memorial Day weekend, that we were just going to begin, but they already finished phase one. In fact, they said, you know what, we're going to keep going. And we actually started and completed phase two as well, which is our lobby and then also our fellowship hall. So let me tell you this. If you haven't been back there yet, because I know how it works, and you're like struggling just to get here 15 minutes late, and so if you just like ran right in, I want to encourage you after the service to go back and check out. We got new paint and new flooring, and check out some of those kids' classrooms. You can't go in unless you're background checked, okay? But make sure that you peek in there, playing, not playing on that one. But take a peek and check it out. And I just want to say again, thank you so much for your faithfulness. So many of you have sacrificed, like my family and I, to give towards the Kingdom Builders project. And the next phase is this room right here, the auditorium. And so that's coming soon. And we're just really excited about that. So we're right on target. We're right on the pace that we need to be with the construction, but also with the giving. So let me just give you an update. Those of us like myself that you've been giving to Kingdom Builders, we have 9 days left. I know it's caught up to us really quick. 9 days left, 1 Sunday left to complete our 52 days of pledges. So let me just say this to you. For those of us that you're still working on your pledge, if at all possible, if you could complete your pledge by June 11th, that would really help us out. Well, will you take our money afterwards? Yes, we will. Okay, we won't turn away your Kingdom Builders pledges after that. But if you could help us, that keeps us on pace. Because again, the goal is to finish everything, including the launch of Church Online and Spanish translation, to complete everything by the end of the summer so we can have a grand opening in the fall. So we're right on pace. We're looking great. But help me finish strong with that. If you forgot where you're at, just email us. We'll definitely let you know. But if you could finish that by June 11th, that would really help us out. I just love what God is doing here at the church. Well, back to our series. We're taking a deep dive into Galatians chapter 5. In fact, if you got your Bibles and you want to open up to our theme verses, we're going to read those here in just a second. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22 all the way through verse 25. And if you're familiar with church or your Bible, you know those are the passages, those are the verses that are all about the fruit of the Spirit. And here's the cool thing we've been doing, part three today, but these last 2 weeks, is that we've been taking 1 week each and lasering in on one of the different fruit of the Spirit. So the first week was about love. Last week was about joy. And this week is about peace. And how many of you know we need some more peace in our lives? We really, really do. But let me remind you, as some of you are turning there to our theme verses, when we read Galatians chapter 5, specifically verse 22, we're not talking about 9 different fruits of the Spirit. We're actually talking about one fruit with 9 different flavors. Here's kind of how I've been describing it these past couple of weeks, that I picture it like one tree with 9 different fruit growing on that same tree, and that tree's source, what gives it life, is the Holy Spirit. So 9 different types or shades of what the Holy Spirit produces in our life. So Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, notice it's singular, not plural, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, that's what we're talking about today. Forbearance, another way to say that is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. You're free. You're not bound up any longer. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so each week we've been doing a word study before we dive in, okay? And so we're going to do a word study on the original language, the Greek here, for the word peace. So if you're a note taker, get ready to take notes. The original word here for peace is the Greek word. I've been working on this all week. We'll see if I get it right. Irene. You got to do this hand gesture. I don't know why. Irene. And that's how you say it. And here's what this means. And you'll find this in your Bible app if you take notes that way. But it's powerful. This is the type of peace that God has for you and me. It's tranquility and quietness of heart and mind because all is well between the believer and their heavenly Father. Isn't that good? I'm going to read it again. Tranquility and quietness of heart and mind because all is well between the believer and their heavenly Father. This is the peace that God is sliding across the table to you and me today. And as I was studying this past week for this message, and as the Holy Spirit was leading me in that process, I could have went to a lot of different places in the Bible that talks about this kind of peace, but the Holy Spirit led me to Ephesians chapter 2. So if you got your Bibles or you got your Bible app, that's going to be our main text today. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. And as I look out on the crowd today, I know y'all are the deep people, and so you can handle a lot of verses, right? So we're going to go all the way from 11 to 22 because I got the best of the best here with me this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen if you're live in the room. I'm going to get started here as you're still turning there, maybe. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, and without God in the world. So the Apostle Paul is writing here. He's writing to these type of people, the Gentiles. But now, verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. For he himself, speaking of Jesus, is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself, speaking again of Jesus, one new humanity out of the two, thus making, there's that word again, peace. Verse 16, and in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but now fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building, this is beautiful, y'all. I hope you're catching it. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. The last verse, and in Jesus, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the holy text. So much power, so much purpose in these verses that we just read. And so I pray, God, that you would help me, a fallible person, to preach your infallible word. Holy Spirit, I ask for your anointing to rest heavy upon me, not because of me, but because of you living in me as a Christ follower. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would soften every heart in this room and every heart listening online on our podcast. I pray, God, they would have ears to hear from you, not from a man, not from a pastor, from you. I pray, God, they would have eyes to see what you want them to see. And I come against any distraction, any text message that would try to come in, any person in front of them, behind them, or beside them that would try to separate them from what you want to say and what you want to do, I come against those distractions. And may we laser in, may we focus in on you. Because as we lean into your word, you will do a great work in us and eventually through us. Didn't come here to play patty cake. God, we came here to do business with you. So for the new person and those that have been in church for decades, may you work inside every single one of us, and may we be changed as we sit underneath the preaching of your holy word. We love you, we trust you, and even now, may you raise up some expectation in our life. We pray all this, we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I hope y'all are ready. It's going to be a good day. Just like last week, if you're here, I want to start with a question, and you can play along if you want. I know sometimes you're like, no, I'm not playing along. I'm going to stay like this, and you just, whatever floats your boat, okay? But some of y'all play along with me, and I want to ask you a question. Have you ever lost something before only to realize later on that you still possessed it the whole time? Can somebody testify with me? Okay, we got a few of you playing along. Thank you so much. I've been in that situation many times in my life. One thing that I lose all the time is my keys. And I don't know if you can relate to that. One time I found my keys in the trash can. That's how bad it's gotten for me. And so I'll lose my keys and I'll be looking everywhere in my office, at my house, like, where did my keys go? And I'll say a little prayer. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus, please help me to find my keys, like make them appear, poof, whatever you got to do, only to realize that they were in my pocket the entire time. Maybe that's not the one that you've lost. Maybe for you it's your glasses or your sunglasses. I know I've been there a time or two. And you're looking everywhere and you're telling your spouse or your best friend, like, somebody stole my sunglasses. Like, I know they're $5 at the gas station, but somebody stole my sunglasses. I cannot believe. And then my wife, just in my situation, look at me, and Ryan, they're on your head. That's where they are. You lost something and you think that, like, I don't know where it is, but you possessed it the entire time. And I was thinking about this, and I honestly, I think peace is kind of like this. And let me explain, because I know it's kind of a little bit of a leap here. But I think peace is like this, and here's what I mean. I know so many of us, myself included, I've been in this situation many times where I'm just looking everywhere for peace. Like, I need it bad because things are not peaceful at home, or things are not peaceful at the office, or things are not peaceful in my family. And so I need peace. And so I'm looking everywhere for it, only to eventually realize that it's right here in front of me. Because many of the believers in the room, you know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so desperately, we want tranquility. In fact, when I said that word earlier in that definition, you're like, I want me some of that. I want tranquility. I want calm, especially if you got young kids like us. Like, I just want some tranquility in my life. And y'all know this, we will pay good money to try to get tranquility. Like, that's a great name if you own a spa or like a massage place. Like, just put tranquility in there. We'll go on vacations to places that they show these pictures. Oh, it's so tranquil, like no kids are allowed. Like, you can't bring your kids. Like, it's just gonna be amazing. And we're looking everywhere for peace, but so often we don't realize that the one who is peace is right here in front of us. In fact, I'll say it to you this way. We have access to the Prince of Peace at any time we want access to him. We're looking for peace everywhere, but it's right here in front of us. And so today, if you're here, if you're listening online and you do not have peace, I've got good news for you. The Prince of Peace is here to meet with you. And so today, looking at our main verses in Ephesians chapter 2, I want to pull out a few powerful truths about the peace, the type of peace that God gives. And if you're taking notes, you'll jot these down because you know it will help you. Number one is this: God wants to give you peace with enemies. Peace with enemies. And if you don't have enemies, then you're just honestly, you just need to learn a little bit more about your life, because we all have enemies. We all have people that are coming against us, and God wants to give us peace with our enemies. This is verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, we talked about one of them, the Gentiles, he's made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So Jesus has brought two groups together. Well, Pastor Ryan, what are the two groups? One is the Gentiles and the other is the Jewish people. And so Jesus came and he brought the two groups and he made them one. They were enemies. In fact, let me break it down for you a little bit, because we have a lot of new believers, a lot of new people in our church. And by the way, you're at the right place, okay? We're glad you're here. But let me explain it to you quickly. The Gentiles were people that were considered the lowest of the low. Like, in every way, they were considered the lowest of the low. And not just that, but they were also excluded from God's holy people, the Jewish people. So let's make it real simple. Gentiles were bad, awful sinners, and Jewish people were good, holy saints. It's as simple as we can make it. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to the Gentile side. In fact, most of us in this room, we are Gentiles. So that's us, bad, awful sinners. And then you've got the Jewish people, God's holy people that live in God's holy city, good, holy saints. And so you can imagine for a moment that there's a lot of differences between the two groups. They were at odds all the time. They didn't associate with each other. The groups didn't talk. Their kids didn't play together. They didn't have group hangs, okay? Like, they weren't in the same place very often. There was separation. There was even a physical difference. And if you remember the first verse that we read in verse 11, it talked about it, but I won't say more about it because that's a message for another day, okay? But there was a physical difference with the Gentiles and the Jews as well. So it wasn't just spiritual, it was also physical. What am I trying to say? They couldn't be more different, but this was all before Jesus. Well, I hope y'all ready today, okay? It's going to be a good one. But this was before Jesus. This is before Jesus died on the cross. This is before Jesus sacrificed it all. And now, because of what Jesus has done, the Gentiles were no longer alienated from the Jews. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, they were no longer separated from God's kingdom. Jesus changed the game. And so what is Paul, the original author here, what is he trying to say? What is he proclaiming? He's saying this: Jesus has brought peace between those that were once enemies. He did it back then, and he'll do it for you. Jesus brings peace. And as you look at Jesus' life, that's what he did. In fact, if you know the Bible really well, especially the New Testament, the Gospels, you can look at Jesus' ministry, his 3.5 years or so as he ministered there in the Middle East, and you'll see a man, 100% God and also 100% man, that brought peace wherever he went. It's what he did. He's the Prince of Peace, and he lived up to his name. He brought people together. He spent time with the outcast and the sinner. He spent time with the rebel. He spent time with people on the other side, the Pharisees, those that despised him and wanted to kill him. He was the bringer of peace. And so Paul, the author here of Ephesians, he paints this beautiful picture of those that were once enemies of God and those that were once enemies of God's people now being brought together in peace and harmony with God's people, all because of Jesus.
And I don't know about you, but I believe with all my heart we need more of that here today. That as we look to Jesus, he would bring groups together that don't normally associate people across the aisle politically from us, people that we like to bash on social media instead of love. That was the first message. Let me just keep going here. But Jesus has called us to be peacemakers. Now, it's important to remember what verse 14 says. In fact, if you got your Bible still open or your Bible out, you look at it again, you can't afford to miss this. This could be the simplest, most powerful thing you hear all day. Jesus didn't really bring them peace. Jesus is their peace. Let it sink in for a second. Jesus didn't really bring them peace. He is our peace. And if you look even deeper, that was the beginning of verse 14. Now look at the end of verse 14. Paul describes that Jesus, as he's bringing them together, there's this dividing wall of hostility. This dividing wall of hostility between the two. And you need to know this. The Apostle Paul, we're going deep today. I know you can handle it. The Apostle Paul is not just talking about a spiritual wall between the Gentiles and the Jews. He's talking about a physical wall. Some of you probably don't know this. In fact, I didn't know this till this last week in my deep study. But here's what we find out. That there was a physical wall between the two. You see, in Jerusalem at the time, between the temple, which was God's house, the church, between the temple and the court of the Gentiles, where Gentiles were allowed to go. They couldn't go all the way in, but where they were allowed to go to worship. Between those two areas, there was a giant stone wall, like physically there. And on the stone wall, there was an inscription, a big, huge billboard, and they wrote it in Greek and they wrote it in Latin to make sure everybody knew what it said. And here's what it said. No one of another nation, talking about outside of the Jewish people, no one of another nation to enter within the fence and enclosure around the temple. And whoever is caught will have himself to blame that his death ensues. So literally, physically, there was a wall, a separation. But what did Jesus do? Jesus came and he tore down the symbol, but he also tore down the wall that was separating these two groups. He said, you know what? I'm not really bringing you peace. I am your peace. And because of me, there no longer is a separation between the two. Those that grew up in this family and those that grew up in this family, you can be one in peace and harmony, not because of you, but because of me. And this is a message that needs to be preached in 2019. In fact, if we could all be honest, we need this message. Let's not point at somebody else or some other state or like we need this, that God's called us to be peacemakers and God wants to give us peace with our enemies. Jesus has broken down the spiritual and the physical wall. And it's great news. So hear me, friend. Here's where it gets practical for you and me. It doesn't matter what your religious background is. Doesn't matter your race or your socioeconomic status. It doesn't matter your gender or your family upbringing. We all now have access to God in his house because of Jesus. Like, we no longer have to be on the outskirts of the temple, just getting close enough but not allowed to go in. Because of Jesus, we no longer are limited in our access to him. And so Jesus wants to do this for you and me. Number two, the second point, God gives us peace with ourselves. Peace with ourselves. This is verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 2. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And I plan on talking about this more in our next series after this one, so I won't go into great detail. But God has called us as his church to be a place of peace and unity. Peace and unity. In fact, I'll say it to you this way. It's what Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 14, that God has called us to make every effort. And some of y'all need to make more effort. Every effort to live in peace with everyone. Now, notice here, it doesn't say Republicans or Democrats only. Notice here, I'm stepping on some good toes today. Come on. Notice it doesn't say those that you agree with 100%. Notice it doesn't say like those that don't annoy you. Like, make every effort, you. Like, we like to point out the problems in other people. Like, you make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. I just think it's interesting the order here. Make every effort to be at peace with everyone and to be holy. And without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So what's this saying? That we here in the church, we should handle what we can handle. We should control what we can control, and we control us. So we should love people. We should forgive people. We should try to make things right. We are responsible for us. We make every effort for peace. And speaking of us having control with how we act, if I could just be honest with you today, it drives me crazy that in almost every other area of our life, we take responsibility, but not with our peace. Here's the excuses I hear all the time. Well, if you just worked where I worked, Pastor, you wouldn't have peace either. If you just had the family that I have, Pastor, like, you'd be struggling just to come to church. I mean, it'd be hard. Like, if you only knew, Pastor, my spouse, I mean, I love them, but it's hard sometimes. So we make all of these different excuses. But I got to tell you something today. We need to focus on us. We are responsible for us. Think about it this way. After service today, you're probably going to go to a restaurant. And when you go to that restaurant, let's say that you choose some good old Southern Texas barbecue, okay? So you get some good barbecue, whatever place that you like. And then afterwards, you save a little bit of space in your stomach for some banana pudding. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, if you're really Southern like me, you call it nanner pudding, okay? But you just know there's always a little space left for some banana pudding. And so you have your meal, and you're like, this is my cheat meal, okay? So I can just do whatever I want. I'm not counting calories, praise the Lord. And so I'm at my barbecue. This is great. And so you order some banana pudding, and your waiter, your waitress, they bring out a kale salad instead. You're like, that is my worst nightmare. I'm with you. What would you do? You would send it back. You wouldn't accept it. You would say, excuse me. Sir, ma'am, there was a grave mistake in the back. I'm not blaming it on you, but somebody made a mistake because kale salad is from hell and banana pudding is from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, you never shared your faith before, but you are in that moment right then. Some banana pudding. And so you would say, I'm sorry, but this is not what I paid for. And you would send it back. Why? Because you have responsibility over yourself in that moment. Just because they gave it to you doesn't mean you have to receive it. You know where I'm going here? Doesn't mean that you have to digest it. Doesn't mean that you have to let it take root in your heart. Just because you grew up in a bad environment, just because your family drives you crazy, guess what? Our family drives us crazy too. Just because you got people that stress you out doesn't mean that you have to receive it and digest it and let it take root. You can send it back. And I'm just going to assume today that there's people in the room like myself that we blame our lack of peace on everybody else but ourselves. Well, if you only knew, Pastor, if you only knew what I was going through, and I'm here to tell you today, you have responsibility for you and not for everybody else. And so if you lack peace, with all due respect, it's your fault and no one else's. Because Jesus is right in front of you, and he is the Prince of Peace, and you have access to him at any point in your life. And so if you lack peace today with yourself and your situation, you just need to grab hold of Jesus because he is your peace. You don't have to receive it. You can cast that. That's not for me. That somebody else ordered that. I'm sending that back. Here's the third one and most important one today. And I close with this. Number three, peace with God. The other two were great and probably for a lot of people in the room and listening online, but you need peace with God. I need peace with God. This is verses 16 and 17, I believe. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility, he came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Friend, you can't miss this, that Jesus came to bridge the gap between us and God. In fact, I prayed about it earlier when we took communion together, that each of us, there has been a separation. This is good theology. Let this sink into your heart and soul. There's been a separation. We can blame it on Adam and Eve, but I'm just telling you, we probably would have made the same choice. But a separation between us and God. God is good, holy, perfect. And y'all know we are not that. So there's a separation. God did not put that separation there. We put that separation there. And so sacrifice had to be made to bridge that gap. And do you know how the gap was bridged? When Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross. That literally reaching from one side to the other as they drove nails, probably not into his hands, but into his wrists. Jesus was literally bridging the gap for you and me. Because God is good, and because God is holy, and because we are not, there must be a separation. But God said, that's not good enough. That even though you chose to put that barrier, my plan A, do you know it wasn't plan B for God? He knew that we would choose something other than him. That's more good theology for you today. It's not plan B. It's plan A. And God in his infinite wisdom and his amazing, unending love, he said, that's not good enough. And for thousands of years, us, humanity, we've tried to work our way to God. We see the gap. It's obvious. We know our thoughts and we know our actions and we know what we do that we wish we didn't do, but we can't stop doing it. And so what have we tried to do to bridge that gap for thousands of years? We're no different than anybody lived decades and decades and decades before us. We've tried to volunteer our way to God. I see it all the time. We try to donate money our way to God. We try to sacrifice our way. That's why years and years and years ago, people would actually inflict pain on themselves, thinking that that got them closer to God. We've tried everything to bridge that gap, but even our best efforts have fallen so short. But when Jesus stretched out his hands, when he sacrificed for you and me, he gave us access to peace with God again. And that's what you need. You don't need another self-help book. Like, they're great. I'm not saying they're wrong, but they're not the answer. Like, all of it is, was a better person. It's not good enough. Jesus is here because he is peace, to give you peace with God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for my friends. God, I pray even now that you would pour out your peace, that you would pour out yourself. We've almost been scrambling around our house, around our home, looking for peace. And well, if we just get another vacation this summer, or if we just make sure that we have another child, then there'll be, oh, if we just make sure that we get a better job with more money. We're scrambling. We're frantic. We want peace so desperately when the Prince of Peace, you, Jesus, you're staring us right in the face. Because you are our peace. And if we lack peace, it's no one else's fault but our own. pray, Holy Spirit, even now you would speak to some people. In fact, I believe you're doing that right now, that this is for you, this is for you. Seldom does God shoot bank shots, okay? Where he hits you with something because it was for somebody else. The Holy Spirit is hitting you in the heart right now. It's for you. So don't be thinking about that person that really needs this message. I can't wait to send them a link of the podcast. You need it. Holy Spirit, speak what you need to speak right now. And we pray most importantly, if there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice, that they lack peace with you. That yeah, there's that separation. They know it. They see it. It's there. But today they realize that nothing they can do on their own will bridge that gap. The answer is not serve more. The answer is not give more. The answer is not sacrifice more. The answer is surrendering our life to you, Jesus, to accepting the penalty that you paid on the cross for our sin. To accept you as our Savior and our Lord. Because Jesus is the one that bridges the gap. Jesus is the one that brings peace between us and a holy, perfect God. So eyes closed, heads bowed all across the building here. If you're listening online on the podcast and you're able to, you can close your eyes right where you're at as well. And if there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice that you need peace with God, that you need to accept for the first time or maybe the first time in a long time, Jesus' forgiveness. If you need to put your faith in him for the first time or maybe the first time in a long time, you have that opportunity. The Prince of Peace is extending out his arms to you, but you've got to accept him. You've got to receive him. You've got to surrender. So heads bowed, eyes closed. But if there's anybody listening today that I can see in this room, you want peace with God. You want to surrender your life to him. Could you raise your hand so I could lead you in a prayer? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please, no one looking but me. Thank you so much. Hands all over. Thank you so much. God's moving. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can put them down once they're up. Thank you. Another hand. You can put it down. Thank you. Thank you. This is why we do this. Thank you, Lord. If you're responding online as well, God sees your hand. He knows your life. So here's what we're going to do. This is beautiful. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of surrender to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of surrender to him. A prayer that simply confesses with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. A prayer that helps you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and he was risen from the grave. It's not a magical prayer. It's not about you saying it just right, because that's your works again. Remember, that's not how it works. It's about your belief, your confession, and your trust, because Jesus knows you. So the many that raised their hand, this is beautiful. And also, all the Christ followers as support. Repeat this out loud after me, and even more than that, mean it with all your heart. Say this, dear Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so right now, today, I put my trust, I put my belief in you. And I ask you to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, and I receive you. I don't look everywhere else. I look to you. You are my peace. Thank you that when I trust in you, you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You are always here to help. Come on, tell him this. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.